Amen. We've been talking about some lessons that we can learn from Nehemiah. And over these last several weeks, one of the things that we said is that whatever you do for in life, God found somebody faithful in Nehemiah. So I said this to you. I said, find yourself faithful in the little things. And when you find yourself faithful in little things, God can tap on you for the larger things. You find yourself doing the mundane, doing the little things that maybe you don't think matter too much. Maybe getting here early and setting up chairs, or maybe it doesn't feel like it matters too much, or helping to kind of re-wipe down a bathroom. Those things you might not look at as, well, that's not a big deal, or turning on a computer. We've got young people that get here early who are helping to run sound or helping to run the words on the screen. And that matters because that is ministry. It's ministry to God's people. Ministry means the word help, right? And so they're actually, just like the Holy Spirit is our helper, they're imitating, being imitators of God by coming alongside the plan of God, the purpose of God, and helping. And our youth leaders, the Jacksons, they have inculcated that into our young people. And it's actually really starting to take root where they're here, they're learning how to worship. In a couple of weeks, I imagine, a couple of weeks pretty soon, don't know the exact date, you're going to hear our young people lead you in worship. And let me tell you something, they are really working it. And I'm here. If you want to get here early on a Sunday morning and hear their rehearsal, they're doing it. And they're sounding good. And there's some talent there. There's some things that's being developed. And it's not the next generation. They are the now generation. They really are. So for so many years, people talked about, well, youth and children, that's for the next generation, you know. They're the church of tomorrow. No. No, they're not. They're the church of today. And I was at a church conference several weeks back, I think I told you. They have many different pastors on their staff. And this statistic blew me away. 60% of their pastoral staff is under the age of 24. Wow. 60%. And we're not talking about, oh, they have five pastors. They have six campuses with about, I think it's like 75 pastors. And they said that 60% of them are under the age of 24. They're speaking the gospel to their generation, and it is making an impact. And I believe that God wants us to do the same here at Westchester Family Church. If you would, turn with me to one of our key passages that we have gone to time and time again. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is going over to Nehemiah. Going over to Nehemiah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just go there. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. I love the story of Nehemiah because Nehemiah was a builder. Nehemiah was somebody who, he was not a builder by trade. He was a cupbearer. He was a servant. But he was found faithful. And so one of the things that I've been telling you is to find yourself faithful in the little things. And the second thing is that he followed compassion. He followed compassion when it came to hearing about the terrible situation that the walls of Jerusalem had been crumbled. God's people had been put to shame. And there was a compassion that was moved on the inside of him to where he wept and he prayed. And so I want to say, find yourself faithful, follow compassion, and focus on God's plan. Focus on God's plan for the situation that you might be in. And fix your eyes on what's going on around. Find God's plan. Fix your eyes on what's going around. Follow through. And we used the story of how when the king of Israel was frustrating his enemies because Elisha would tell them every single time that they were getting ready to attack, Elisha would just tell the king, oh, by the way, the enemy's going to be over this hill on such and such time, because God would tell the prophet. And it frustrated the enemy king, to the point that eventually we see that the enemy king surrounds Elisha. But one of the things that that happens in the particular story, why we have some of these props up here on the stage, has to do with the fact that the prophet told the king to take his bow and arrow and to shoot an arrow through the window, the east window, toward the enemy. And when he did, he said, "That's the arrow of the Lord." And in historical situations, as I've said before, that is really a declaration of war. That's saying, "That's my territory." Constantinople did it in ancient history, where he would just, he would go into a conquering land and he would fire an arrow saying, "That's my territory." And so when we, spiritually speaking, because the weapons of our warfare, according to Ephesians, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They're mighty through God. And so we, spiritually speaking, shoot an arrow, if you will, into the enemy's camp to take back territory. And then the prophet was on his deathbed, and the king was listening very intently, because Elisha was getting ready to die. He was getting ready to go on to be in his reward. And one of the things he said is, "I want you to take your arrows. I want you to take your arrows and I want you to strike the ground." But he didn't tell him how many times. He just told him to strike the ground. And the king only struck the ground three times. And at that juncture, the prophet raises up and he's angry. And he says, "You should have struck the ground five or six times." That, he said, "Now you're only going to defeat your enemy three times." And what that speaks to us in a lesson from Nehemiah is to follow through. To follow through with whatever God gives you. Nehemiah followed through with the plan of God. He was detailed. He followed each step and kept on pushing through even when there was opposition. Then last week we said you need to fasten your seatbelt because there's going to be opposition. You have opposition anytime you raise up and say, "I'm going to stand for God." You have opposition. First of all, you're not going to fit in. You know, I've been hearing some things that you know, that sometimes Christians, they just want to fit in. They just want to fit in. And I got news for you. Christians have never really fit in. Anytime they fit in, it meant that the gospel was watered down. Anytime they totally fit in and they were accepted by society, it was kind of like, "Ooh, watch out." There was something going on where there was a compromise. There was something that they had to give into in order to have that. And I, you know, when we think about our brothers and sisters who are persecuted throughout the world right now, some of them who can't meet like we're meeting right now, who can't speak the name of Jesus freely, who can't actually say that Jesus is Lord without repercussion, who can't take the Bible and actually pass the Bible around. It wasn't too many years ago, folks, that the former Soviet Union, it was illegal to possess a Bible. It was illegal to actually pass a Bible from one person to another. You see, we live in a day and age. Thank God we live in this country where we do have the ability to stand up and have freedom of speech and have freedom of religion. And it's important that we understand these things, that most of the world does not have that. That we have something that's extremely special, that we can raise up our hands. We can not fear that somebody's going to come in here and shut our meeting down. We're not in fear that way. And so we understand that you need to fasten your seatbelt. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight. Last week he said, "But just because there's a fight, you don't need to fear. So fear not. Fear not. Because God's with you." The Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so when we understand some of these things, that helps us as we continue on in our journey. So there's some great lessons. I encourage you to read the entire book of Nehemiah and look at some of these these lessons that we can learn. Find yourself faithful. Follow compassion. Focus on God's plan. Facilitate His plan. Fix your eyes around you. Realize what's going on around you. Nehemiah realized what was going on around him. He took note. We talked about how in Ephesians it tells us to walk circumspectly, to actually be aware of what's going on around us. Walk circumspectly. That means almost having your head on a swivel, realizing there's an enemy, realizing that there's a fight, if you will, a fight of faith. And then we said that, that you've got to be fit for a fight. You've got to be fit for a fight. Turn with me to, you're there in Nehemiah. We're going to go back there in just a moment. But turn with me to Ephesians, if you would. In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to go there right now for time's sake. Ephesians 6. And I love the fact, I've always liked this passage. Been one of, and you hear me all the time, I always say, this is my favorite passage, this is my favorite passage. I just like the Bible. How about you? There's just a lot of times that at different seasons in my life, some of these passages have meant more to me than others. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, chapter 6 and verse 10, praise the name of the Lord, glory to God, amen, amen. And we're in Ephesians 6 and 10. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance would be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So the Apostle Paul, in giving this dissertation to the Ephesian Christians, he's telling them that there is a fight. There is a fight of faith that each one of us, that we have as well. That fight of faith doesn't involve physical weapons like the ones I have, a sword here. It doesn't involve that. It involves knowing the Word of God so that you can combat deception, that you can combat when something comes up. And you say, well, what does the Word of God say about that? And you put it through the filter of the Word of God, whether or not you accept it. And see, right now we do live in a society and an age where so many people, they don't know the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. Or they've not been taught the Bible, or in some cases, even thrown off believing the Bible. But I want to challenge us, we are Bible-believing people. We're people of the book. We believe the book, right? So if we believe the book, then when we learn it, when we get to know it, what it does is it allows us to take ideas and things that come at us and put it through the filter of the Word of God. And when we put it through that filter, then we are able to either accept or reject the ideas, the thoughts, the things that are coming our way. We are in a warfare. Now, that may seem like a bad news bear kind of thing. Pastor, that's just a bad news bear. Are you talking culture war? No, I'm talking about a spiritual fight. I'm talking about a fight of faith. I'm not talking about culture war. I'm talking about a fight of faith. That our faith has to do with us receiving God's word. Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God over and over and over again. That's why we listen. That's why we come together. That's why you listen to sermons sometimes online or podcasts, because you're getting the word of God down on the inside of you, having done all to stand therefore. When we have everything we need for life and godliness. And so when we are looking at some of these lessons from Nehemiah, and I have to obey the Lord. I've been wrestling a little bit today. I've been a little bit wrestling, like, God, I want to finish up this thing on Nehemiah, and he keeps telling me to do something else. So you guys just stay with me just for a second. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. I can't get away from this. I think that it does connect with some of the lessons we've learned from Nehemiah. I'm just going to obey God. All right. Okay, so let's look at the story of David Goliath. David and Goliath, for several weeks now, this has been a story that just keeps coming up in my heart. I keep seeing this picture in my heart. And I want to just share some things with you. And it may not be a polished message right now, so just try to follow me just a little bit. I've been paying attention to and praying through what's going on with this revival, and just believing God that God would visit Mount Kisco. He would visit Westchester Family Church just in a way that just changes us. That changes us. That we don't go through business as usual. And one of the things that just keeps coming to mind is I sometimes feel like that we're a little bit like David and Goliath. You know, we're a little bit like we have a little history. David had a little history before he met Goliath. It was unsung. It was not even noticed by many people. But we see in the story what's going on. In verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephrath-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. They encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. For those of you that don't speak King James English, that's about 9 feet tall. That's pretty tall. Okay? He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, about 15 pounds. Right? And his staff, his spear, were like the weaver's beam. And the 600 shekels is 15 pounds. And a shield bearer went before him. And when he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel, he said to them, "Why do you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of Ephrath, and of Bethlehem, Judah. And his name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone out to follow Saul in the battle. The names of 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Now, I want you to get the picture. The battle lines are drawn. The Philistine comes out. He's in his battle array. He's 9 feet tall. He's an imposing figure. And all they're doing is saber rattling. And if you've ever heard that term saber rattling, it means they're trying to say who's, you know, they're trash talking. Okay? If you've ever been to a football game and you hear football players or basketball players and they're before the game, what do? They trash talk. And they're just trying to intimidate one another with what? With what?
Words.
I want you to get that. Words. Words. Why is this important this morning, Pastor? I've said this a couple times from the pulpit. I've said this privately. It's something I just can't get away from. We, in our current situations, you cannot run at your giant with your mouth closed. We're going to see that in just a moment. Mark Hankins, a well-known minister, it's his phrase, it's not mine, but it just has stuck with me, that we can't run at our giants with our mouth closed. So what is the giant that you're facing today? Is it a health giant? Is it a financial giant? Is it a relational giant? What is that giant that you're facing today? Quit running at your giant with your mouth closed. The challenge that we have a lot of times is we get really quiet. But I want you to notice why is it important that we know that in the trash talking they were using words? Because words stir up fear. Words stir up the exact opposite, trash talking, it stirs up the exact opposite of faith, fear. So what do teams that are wanting to beat each other, what do? They're trying to intimidate one another. You're no good. You're just this, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and in school, and in especially public schools, they'll use horrible curse words. They'll put each other down. That's exactly what was going on here. You've got the Philistines who did not know God, did not acknowledge God, who were basically trash-talking God and God's people. And so we see that this fear has gripped Israel. Fear has gripped Israel because of what? What they heard and also what they saw. They saw Goliath. Goliath was just one. Now it's true, Goliath, we find out through reading the Word of God that Goliath had several brothers that were also large. But we're still talking about one man. How in the world did one man intimidate an entire army? Through words. Words. The king of Israel was intimidated through words. So we keep on going, and it says, so David rose, or verse 20, early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper. Side note here, David's a pretty responsible young man. He's in charge of the sheep, but he left them with a keeper. He's responsible. He wasn't just going to leave his sheep alone. He's going to make sure they're taken care of. There's a quality about David that maybe we should just take note of. And he took the things and went as Jesse commanded him. He listened to his father. He listened to the voice of his father. Go and take these things to your brothers. And he came to the camp. The army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and Philistines had drawn up in a battle array. David left his supplies in the hand of what? The supply keeper. Once again, David is a pretty responsible young man. He ran to the enemy, right? And came and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard the same words. He heard the same words that the king of Israel had heard and was afraid. David hears the same words. It doesn't instill fear in him. Why? Because he already had the word in him. Here's a battle plan for you. We've been talking about, is it worth the fight? We are in the fight of faith. We're in the fight of faith. As a believer, once you accepted Christ into your life, once you decided to live for Him, you're in a fight of faith. Whether you want to or not, you're in the fight. But thanks be to God, you've got mighty weapons. We just read it in Ephesians, right? So here we go. David hears the words. He hears the words, the same words. And, So David heard them, verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and will give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men. Now, David is a teenager. Come on, teenagers.
Come on.
Spirit of boldness, come on you.
Amen.
That you'll even talk to adults and speak truth. Oh. So David speaks. And what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine, takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." In other words, you're just a busybody. You just want to know what's going on. David's not having this. From his older brother, he's not having this, is he? He says, and David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" Then David turned toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Get the picture for just a second. David's a teenager. He's in with a bunch of professional soldiers. They're afraid. Some of them even fled when Goliath spoke. It doesn't say that David fled. He's just standing there. And he keeps asking questions. Young people ask questions. It's fine. Let them ask the questions. Let them ask the questions about the authenticity of and the power of the gospel. Let them ask, because it's real. The same God that met me as a teenager meets teenagers every single day. There is a real God, and He knows your name. And He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you to be used by Him. And notice what happens. Saul even is fearful and looks at the kid and goes, "You can't fight him. He's a professional soldier, and you're not. You're just a little shepherd boy." David's still, he's almost like he's tuned in to another channel. When you read this story, it's because he is. He's tuned into the channel of faith. This is a fight of faith. When young people get a hold of faith, when even if you've been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, if you start picking up the things of faith, quit running at your giant with your mouth shut. Start acting like you are the victor. David is acting like he's owning things, isn't he? Just by the way he's talking. He's not even afraid to see the king. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it. I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. He put on a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a cloak of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, but he couldn't because they had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these. I've not tested them. So David took them off. Get this. This kid is brash. He's talking to the king. He's like, King, I know you want me to have your armor on. You want me to have your sword? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, sometimes the methods that we're trying to reach people with doesn't always work because we've got to figure out how to fight this fight of faith.
Yes.
And reach this next generation. We've got to figure out how to speak to where they hear, so that they're not just saying, oh, those are just a bunch of old people following the old book. No. We've got to understand a little bit more. It doesn't mean we have to get into every idea they have, but we have to understand them. There's got to be a little bit more dialogue. It's got to be an understanding. And one of the interesting things is here, David, in his brashness, in his boldness, he's talking to the king. He says, King, I can't walk with him. I can't do it your way. You know, sometimes that's what our young people are saying. We can't do it your way, but we're going to still follow Jesus. We're still going to follow God. We're still going to follow Him. We're still going to hold up a standard. We're going to still hold up a standard of truth. We're still going to follow the Word of God, but we can't always do it exactly the way you always did it. And so what's going to happen is we're going to see young people that in their fight of faith, they're going to find their own voice. They're going to find their own voice. I think it's great. This shows that David was tuned in. He was tuned in to faith. He was tuned in to his relationship with Jesus. His relationship with God. He was tuned into that. Because why? He spent a lot of time on the hillside with a bunch of sheep. He understood how sheep acted. He understood how the enemy acted. He understood when a lion was on the prowl. He understood when the bear was on the prowl. And he protected his sheep. He was not afraid. Why? Because the Lord was with him. He understood the Lord was with him. He understood the Lord was with him. And this was no different. This was no different. Faith rose up in his heart. And I think it's great. Then he took his staff in his hand. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. Listen, David doesn't even have a shield bearer. Goliath has somebody who's trying to protect him. But notice what happens. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now we're talking trash talking, right? Mm-hmm. Then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defiled. This day, he's opening in his mouth. He's speaking something very powerful. He said, this day, glory to God, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. Oh, my goodness. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines. Now David is saying, I'm going to take your army. I'm not just taking you. I'm taking your army. And he said, oh, man. He says, I'll give the carcasses, that's more than one. I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David hurried, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted, pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell among the road of Shamar, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines. They plundered their tents. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. And then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine still in his hand. And he said, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I want you to see something about David. David knew his God. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32 says this, the people who know their God will do mighty exploits. David knew his God. Young people, everybody in this congregation, if you will know God like never before, if you'll be hungry for God like never before, God will do amazing things in your midst. He will do amazing things. I am not advocating violence, but he's going to do amazing spiritual things in the fight of faith that you find yourself in. You're going to see breakthroughs in people's lives. You're going to see people who you wouldn't think want to embrace Christ, embrace Christ. You're going to see even atheists turn. You're going to see even those that have another faith, like a Muslim, turn. Why? Because they're going to see a living God on the inside of you. And if you would run at your giant with your mouth open rather than closed, then your giant doesn't get to be the one who defeats you. You're the one who gets to defeat that situation. And you speak those words of faith. Words are valuable. They are important. What you say. Pastor Christine said, listen, when it comes to us being the peanut butter church, if you can't get behind it, don't put it in neutral. You say, how do I put it in neutral? Talking negative. That's how you put it in reverse. Sorry. That's how you put it in reverse. Neutral means you don't say anything. And you let somebody else pull you along. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that those soldiers in Israel saw something in David that day. They saw something, and they got the benefit of it, didn't they? Because when the Philistines ran, they chased them. They were afraid of them just moments before.
That's right.
Listen. when you get a revelation of who you are in Christ, there'll be those that will come along with you that were laying in the shadows before. There'll be those that thought you were just kind of the weirdo. There'll be those that might even ridicule you for your stand of faith, for your Jesus talk. They might have ridiculed you. But when you go up against your Goliath, and they see Goliath fall, and they saw you open your mouth, they're going to come in behind. And it's okay. We want that to happen. We want them to come in behind. We want them to come in behind and learn from the fact that you know your God. You know your God. The people who know their God will do mighty exploits. The people who know their God. David was tuned into another channel. He was tuned into another channel. He had a different server. Young people who play online games, they have different servers, right? They set up a server for one another and they do things, right? On online games. I don't always get it. But let me tell you something. David had a different server. He had a server that actually pumped the answers to him. And he spoke them out loud. And he said, Goliath, this day, I'm going to take your head. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to feed the rest of your army to the birds. He was crazy in the natural. He's a kid. Say, well, why did he pick up 5 stones? Goliath had 4 brothers. And he was ready for every one of them. Ready for every one of them. Young people, congregation, are you ready for what God wants to bring you to? Are you ready for a fight? Is it worth the fight? The answer resoundingly should be yes. This fight of faith, God's given you supernatural weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not the norm. God took David with a sling and one little stone to fell Goliath. The enemies and the attacks that the enemy has brought against your house, against your family, against your health, against your finances. The enemy has come and he's talking trash to you. He's talking trash to you. Oh, you're going down on this one. You're going down on this one. Nobody's going to listen to you anymore. Oh, he trash talks. He trash talks all the time. Would it be that we open up our mouth and say, devil, I'm going to give you a problem today? You say, isn't that kind of bold, Pastor? Isn't that? No. That's when you know your God. That's when you know your God and you say, no, devil, I'm giving you a problem today. So shut up. You want me to keep talking? I know the end. I read the back of the book. I know where you're going. Remind him of his future when he reminds you of your past. You did this last week. You did this. You did this. Wait a second. That's under the blood. That's under the blood. That's the old man. You did that when you were not a Christian. Okay. And? That's what the young people say. And? David was tuned in to a different server. You need to tune in to a different server. The people who know their God. That was none of my notes. At all. But I felt like that some of you needed to hear that. There's a fight of faith. There's a fight of faith that if we would listen to God and open our mouth, do not run at your giant with your mouth closed. Right. Speak faith. Speak life. Speak what God's word says. Thanks be to God, he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I have the strength of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You have the strength to forgive. You have the strength to love. You have the strength to make a difference. You have those strength. You don't sit there and say, oh, I don't know. Something in our household that we've been trying to practice is we try not to use the phrase, I don't know, when you come up against a problem. So I'm not saying we're perfect, but you know what we're doing? We're not running at our giants with our mouth closed. We're not saying, oh, I don't know. We're saying, wait, I have the mind of Christ. I do know. I do know. I do know. David knew something that we need to know. He knew his God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for leading and guiding us. Father, I've just done my best to share what you shared with me. Father, that you'd help us. Help us as a church to know you, to be hungry for you. Lord, as I read these reports of people flooding altars and crying out to God and repenting of sin and stepping away from sin in order to step to you, even believers who are getting rid of junk in their lives, getting rid of wrong ideas and wrong philosophies and wrong ideologies and just laying it down. Laying it down. Because you're more important than anything else. Father, the humility. When we hear David, we don't think of humility. Not in the natural sense. But God, if we'll look a little bit deeper, we know he knew you. We know he knew you. And because he knew you, he could speak for you. He could open his mouth and he could run at his giant. Father, empower us to run at the giants that come our way. That we would, because we know you, we can speak those words. So Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you'd help us as a church to know you. All the pretense, all the religion, all the things that we thought we knew, we just want to know you. Help us. Help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I was speaking to you and you feel like you want me to pray for you, that you've been running at your giant a little bit too close-mouthed, too quiet, and the giant is trash talking you right now, saying you can't make it, you're not going to make it, and you want God to just really open your eyes to see, to know that he wants you to make it. You need some help. You want me to pray for you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want you to raise your hand and say, pray for me. I need a little help. I've been running at my giant with my mouth closed. Is there anybody here today? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, right now, just help us to speak faith, to know you better. Father, I pray that those that raised their hand, the situations they're in, the relational, the financial, the health situations they're in, God, that they'd open their mouth. God, because they know you and that you are with them and that you love them and you've got a plan for their life that empowers them so that they can do great exploits for you. Father, I pray, God, that you'd empower them right now. Right now. Open the eyes of their understanding that they know the hope to which they've been called. God, that you've called them to greater things. You've called them to a greater destiny and a deeper relationship with you. One that is not based on religiosity, but one that is, or philosophy, or politics, or causes. But God, one that is based on, I want to know you, God. I want to know you better than I know anything else. Father, I pray that you would help us as a church. Help us, God, as we speak life into this community, even though the enemy might trash talk us and the enemy might try to tell us we're going down, Father, that we would open up our mouth and we'd say, no, God's going to get the victory in this. I give him all the glory and all the honor. So, Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you can go ahead and put your hands down. If you're here today and you have been away from God, or maybe you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I always try to give everybody an opportunity to come to know Christ, to be born again. It's not confirmation. It's not joining this church. It's just simply acknowledging that Jesus is who he said he is. Died for your sins. And as you confess with your mouth, that means you open your mouth and say, Jesus is my Lord. God meets you. You receive that forgiveness and he gives you new life. And so if you're watching or if you're here and you need to recommit your life to Christ or you need to be born again, I want you to raise your hand in this place right now. Just raise your hand and say, I'm recommitting my life to Christ. Or I am needing to be born again right now. If that's you, raise your hand at me. Raise your hand. Is there anybody at all? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. And if you're watching online, go ahead and pray this simple prayer out loud with me. Let this be your act of recommitment to God. Let this be your act of dedication to God, that you're receiving Christ into your life to have a new life, to know God so that you can do great exploits for God and overcome every battle you face with his help. So just pray this simple prayer out loud with me. Everybody in this congregation, just join me. They say, Father God, I come to you. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness right now by faith. I believe that I am loved by the Father, and I receive Jesus into my life, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day forth, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and it was your rededication, I want to know about it. If you're watching on Facebook Live here, I want you to message us and let us know so we can send some things to help you in your walk with God. I just am so moved that God is doing something in the earth, and I believe that we're a part of that in our little section right here. We're a part of that, but I don't believe that it has to stay little. It's a big thing in all of our lives when we embrace Christ, when we embrace his life, so that we can see change and love in this world. So go ahead and stand to your feet right now, and let's speak our sending out verse over ourselves and over this church. Just say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed. Ukulele band will be in just a moment after that, and we'll see you Wednesday night and next week.